Teamwork isn't just nice to have in business, it's the undisputed competitive advantage. When your team members work as a unified force, your whole operation benefits through higher productivity, thriving creativity, and unstoppable momentum. Welcome to the Impactful Teamwork Podcast, where we share with you strategies and tactics to help you develop game-changing teams so that you and your business can make a real difference in the world. Welcome to this week's edition of Impactful Teamwork. I am so thrilled to have you here to learn more about this really important topic of teamwork, which, as we've talked about previously, is the undisputed competitive advantage in business. I'd like to start today with a quote from Andrew Carnegie, Scottish-American industrialist and philanthropist, who says, "Teamwork is the ability to work together towards an uncommon vision. It's the fuel that allows common people to attain uncommon results." And the truth is that teamwork is the shoulder on which all major success rests. And in business and in life, we see great examples of teamwork happening. So in this episode today, I want to share with you some examples of really effective teamwork, because I really want to bring the topic to life. In the last few episodes, we've been talking a bit more about some of the theory of teamwork, but today I want to bring it to life with some real examples. And when I was preparing for sharing this with you today, I was thinking about, well, what are some of the examples that I've seen of great teamwork? And when I reflect back, I think perhaps one of the most impressive examples I've ever seen was when I was on holiday in Egypt. And we went to see the pyramids, because I have no idea how they created those pyramids, you know, the massive blocks of stone that they needed to move to get to the location, but then even to physically get them in place. I just think that's just an incredible feat of engineering. But it could have only happened by a group of people working together effectively to make that happen. So there's lots of examples in the natural world as well of effective teamwork. And another example that I've seen when I was out in Africa is the incredible work of the termites. They make these amazing termite mounds that I've seen that are at least 1.5 meters tall. I mean, it's just incredible that these tiny creatures, not much bigger than an ant, can collectively work together to make a structure that is that impressive. And again, they all have to work together to make that happen. But it's just not physical structures like the pyramids or the termite mounds where we've seen great teamwork happen. There's also a number of events through history that illustrate the importance of teamwork. And we're just going to start there, first of all. So, of course, one example is the D-Day landings, the invasion of Normandy, because this was a fundamental turning point in World War II. And so many things made that a success, because there was all the logistics operation of getting all those troops and equipment there. And also, there were people that actually had to go in and clear the beaches of all the landmines so that the troops could land on the beach. And then, of course, the whole evacuation process of getting people away afterwards. That was only possible because of the way that everyone worked together and collaborated to make that whole event a success. And what about the Apollo 11 moon landings? Another great example of great teamwork. A lot of us, of course, remember the three astronauts, Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins, you know, because of the fact that many of them just went and walked on the moon. They're the people we talk about when we think about back to 1969 and their mission. But when you dig into what happened, there were over 400,000 people that made that walking on the moon possible. And I think this is the thing about teamwork. It's so many people are involved, and yet sometimes we tend to only focus on the people that get the visibility and the recognition. But a great leader realizes that actually it's not them that's made it happen. It's all the people behind them that made it happen. And in my book, Unbridled Business, I have an incredible cartoon from Nelson Mandela that I had created, where Nelson Mandela is talking about the fact that, great leaders are the ones that put the team to the front and the great leaders hide behind. They're not taking all the kudos and praise for what's happened because they recognize they couldn't have got there without their team. So before we delve into some business examples, I just wanted to look at 12 ways that as business leaders, we can help improve teamwork within the business. And the first way I'd like to suggest that we can do that is by creating an environment that encourages open communication and idea sharing across departments. So creating a culture that encourages people to share. And when we create this culture, then we get this cross-functional collaboration occurring. And this helps break down the silos that so often I see happening in organizations. So when I was working in the corporate world in Anderson and Deloitte, one of my biggest frustrations was the fact that people didn't know what else was going on in the business. And often I saw tasks and projects getting replicated in different areas of the business that were fundamentally exactly the same. So we weren't leveraging the talent we had in the organization, the intellectual capital, our time, and our resources effectively. Each individual department was going ahead and doing their own thing. And that was one of my biggest bugbears in the corporate world, was all this wasted time, energy, and resources, because that's not something we find happening in nature. Nature understands this power of collaboration and interdependence and interconnectedness. The other thing that we can do is we can foster a culture of innovation by valuing the diverse perspectives and ideas from all of our team members. So we spoke in the last podcast about the importance of diversity of thought to bring all these different perspectives to life. And if as leaders, we start investing in team development and team building activities, one of the things that we can help do is improve the relationships between our team members. Because actually business is based on relationships. And unless we have good relationships, then it's always difficult for team members to get on and to work effectively and collaboratively together. So the more we can encourage team members to build these relationships, get to know each other, which we can do through, as I said, through team building events or courses and workshops where people all interact together and create forums for that, we can help encourage this open communication, transparency, and people can start getting feedback on what's happening. And again, I know from my experience in business generally, that when you know other people, it's so much easier to get them on board than reaching out to a colleague in another department, for example, that you don't have any type of relationship with. When you have something in common, you know something about those people, my experience is that they will go the extra mile and help you. And I just think about an example in the corporate world. I had a really great relationship with the people in our print room. I had, at the time, I was running a business unit. We did a lot of reports for our clients that we had to get out in a timely fashion. And I built a really good relationship with the gentleman down in the print room. And the result of that was that every time I needed a piece of work delivered, they always did it in a timely fashion. They even bumped me up the queue and got me to the top because I had that relationship and that rapport with them. It's really important as well as leaders that we involve all our team members at all levels of the organization in decision-making and the problem-solving process, because we want to build that culture that embraces the diverse viewpoints in the strategic decision-making. We'll get much better decisions when we get a much more holistic view about what people think. We also want to empower our team members to take ownership and contribute beyond their core responsibilities. And this is so important. We are all working in an environment where we are very time pressured. I think we can all agree that. So we really need our team members to take ownership. And in my experience, when people take ownership and they understand how what they're doing contributes to the overall objective that we're trying to achieve, they are more likely to go the extra mile because they see how they fit in and how they contribute to the ultimate result. And this comes back to cultivating this shared sense of purpose and commitment in achieving the goals. Because when people are committed to achieving the goals, they go the extra mile, they're more engaged, they're more motivated, and in my experience, they tend to deliver a better quality of product for us. We also want to recognize and reward team members who generate the innovative ideas and that collaborate effectively together. Again, in my experience, people do actually want to work together. You know, we are social beings. We like to be part of something. We want to belong. We spoke in episode 2 about the ABCDE of leadership, and the B is belonging. As humans, we've got a social nature to want to connect with other people. Let's encourage that within the organization. And a result of that will be these more innovative ideas. And the more that we encourage the innovative ideas, the more that we get this collective diverse approach to problem solving. And it's this diversity of approach that enables us to adapt to the changing market conditions around us. We've spoken previously of being in this VUCA world where everything is changing. There's a high degree of uncertainty. So it's really important that our team members feel that they can adapt and change and offer new perspectives on what's possible going forward. So let's now delve into a few examples of where I've seen really effective teamwork. And I'm sure you've got loads of examples too. And please feel free to share them with us. We'd really love to hear those. One of them that struck me that I didn't initially think about as teamwork, but of course it is Wikipedia. Wikipedia has obviously become the, you know, online encyclopedia of the world, right, of life. Some of you might remember the good old Encyclopedia Britannica from when you were growing up, you know, the days before the internet when we had to go and find good old books and look things up. But Wikipedia is really interesting because its success has come from effectively crowdsourcing everybody's knowledge together. It's managed to effectively recruit an army of volunteers who put all of this information onto the web. And it's been incredibly successful. And yes, sometimes there are mistakes, but things are constructed in a way that any mistakes or errors can be corrected easily. But it really takes teamwork to make that happen. And effectively, anyone who's ever been on the Wikipedia site is effectively part of that team, right? Because they can provide feedback if they see something that isn't correct on the site. Another example is Google. And Google launched a project called Project Aristotle. And it was to study hundreds of teams and understand the keys to effective teamwork. And their research involved statisticians, organizational psychologists, engineers, researchers, and they analyzed over 250 attributes of team members. And what they discovered was that the attributes that created effective teamwork included things like psychological safety, dependability, structure, meaning, and impact. And as a result of that, Google implemented new training and communication strategies to enhance teamwork across the company. And this has resulted in improved collaboration. And one of the other things that Google has done, it has allowed team members to have a portion of time every week available for them to work on what they call passion projects. And as it sounds, a passion project is something that a particular team member thinks would be a good idea. And a number of innovations in Google have come through this, such as Gmail, That was one of the passion projects that they ended up adopting. And creating this environment where people have got this time to experiment and collaborate and work together on these passion projects has resulted in Google having this culture of collaboration to move the business forward. And they've come up, as we've seen over the years, with a lot of new products and services. You know, my understanding is Google Maps also came out of this process as well. So there's a lot that we can look at from companies like Google about how to improve collaboration in the workplace. And what about Southwest Airlines? Southwest Airlines is a regional airline in North America, but it is renowned for putting teamwork at the heart of customer service. And it regularly offers training programs and team building activities for its team members. And what it's also good at is providing the resources for those team members to excel. And it's this massive focus on customer service and actively encouraging team members to work together that actually ensures passengers have the best experience all the way from the flight booking, all the way through the flight to their destination. And if you've ever flown on Southwest Airlines, their crew are very dynamic, very personable. I've seen and been part of, you know, impromptu sing songs on the aeroplane. In some ways, they're acting outside the box, not what you would expect from typical air crew, but they've done in such a way that it's all designed to improve the customer experience. And the result of this is that Southwest Airlines is consistently ranked as one of the leading airlines in multiple customer satisfaction surveys. And so the success wouldn't have been possible without this commitment to teamwork and without all the team members being absolutely focused on providing exceptional customer service. There's plenty of other examples too of this. Starbucks is another example of a company that has instigated great collaboration and teamwork. Because nowadays, I think we're pretty all familiar with having a Starbucks on, you know, nearly every corner. They seem to dominate everywhere. But that wasn't the case. And back in the early 1990s, Howard Schultz, who was the chairman at the time, had opened a few stores, but business wasn't that successful. And then in 1995, Howard Baer was brought in and he became the president with the remit of improving the company culture. And what he did was he cultivated an environment that met both the employees' needs, but through doing that, inspired them to deliver better customer service. And interestingly, when you look at his philosophy is that they're not in the business of selling coffee, but in the business of creating an amazing customer experience. Through that process of creating that amazing customer experience, Starbucks has built up a loyal, loyal fan base. Many of you will be familiar with people that will only have coffee from Starbucks and nowhere else. This is the power of creating a culture where everyone works together. The ripple effect of that is that you get a fan base of clients who want to come and drink coffee with you. And perhaps one of the most famous examples of creating a great culture and particularly a culture of empowerment and teamwork is Zappos. Zappos was formerly run by Tony Hsieh, and it was an online retail store. And it is actually famous for its amazing customer service. And this is due to the way that everyone collaboratively works together. Zappos talks about creating the wow factor in business. And all of their team members are empowered and driven to do that. And I heard an amazing story once of a client, somebody who was a purchaser of their products, which are shoes, calling up, perhaps in a little bit of a drunken stupor, and requesting a pizza. Now, most customer service representatives in that moment perhaps would have hung up the phone or, you know, told the customer they couldn't help them, but not Zappos. The customer service representative went out of their way to actually order the pizza for that particular customer and send it to their house. I mean, what a great example of empowerment there, that the customer service rep has the ability to do whatever they think they need to do in order to provide amazing customer service. And I also heard a similar example of that at Virgin, where a customer arrived for one of Virgin's transatlantic flights. If you fly in upper class on Virgin, then certainly at the time, and I'm not sure if they still do it now, you were offered free transportation to the airport. And for this particular person, this particular gentleman, the transport hadn't arrived. So they'd had to make their own way to, I believe it was JFK, to get their flight. And when they arrived at the airport, they told the customer representative that the transport hadn't arrived. And the customer representative in that moment made the decision to reimburse the customer for the cost of the taxi that cost him to get to the airport. So again, a great example of empowerment. The only problem was that after that had happened, this customer representative, check-in clerk, then submitted a receipt for payment of the taxi to the management of Virgin to get reimbursed. And as the story goes, it got rejected. And ultimately, Richard Branson heard about this and totally overruled the decision because he said, this is the best example of customer service I've ever seen. Somebody taking the initiative and looking after the customer and giving them the best customer service. And that was only possible because that team member felt empowered and felt they were working in an environment where they were working as part of a team and they could take that decision to make that happen. And finally, let's just talk a little bit about Apple, because Apple, again, is an example of how they've managed to create amazing products through working together in teamwork. The product development within Apple, we've seen the vast array of products that they've come out with. And that's only possible because of the collaboration, again, that exists between the various teams. And what I understand they do is they bring together individuals within the teams, people from the ideation, from the development team, with people that can take those ideas, put them into plans, with them with people who are actually able to develop them, and other people that we call polishers that are able to do that continual improvement and continue to refine the product and service. And it's a result of this that's enabled Apple to create the myriad of products it has. You know, they're not just a computer company. They've got watches. We had the iTunes product, you know, Apple, what's now Apple Music. You know, we've got Apple Podcasts. There's just an array of products. And again, because of their innovation, they've also managed to attract a very loyal following of people that are raving Apple fans that queue up on the street to get the latest Apple product. And it's the leadership structure of the company and its relationship with the employees that's the propelling force to the creation of more products that remain functional and aesthetically pleasing. And we only have to look back to the first iPhone in 2007 and how Apple launched that product and revolutionized the smartphone industry through all the people that worked together. And, you know, some of the initial iPhones that came out were very pleasing, but maybe not so functionally adept as they are today. And what we've seen is Apple continually refine, modify the iPhone to the point that it is today. And I'm sure there's more iterations going on today. We're on Apple iPhone 15, but I'm sure the next one is in the works. And, you know, every time they have more and more functionality on them and can do more and more things. So in conclusion today, there are so many examples of companies that are employing teamwork to really have this competitive advantage in the workplace, to enable them to compete more effectively, but also, I think importantly as well, to have this ability of adaptability and flexibility, because we live in a world that is changing so quickly, and we need to ensure that as businesses, we are continually reinventing. The products and services we have today will more than likely probably be obsolete in 5 and certainly 10 years' time. So unless we pull in all these diverse perspectives and get everyone within our organization working together, we are never going to be able to maintain that competitive edge. And in the worst case, we become a bit like a Kodak, where we actually don't respond to the environment around us and we cease trading. So, you know, we've got examples of Kodak and Blockbuster, for example, and Nokia, all companies that at one time were ahead of the curve, who just believed that the products and services they had at that point in time would serve them for another number of generations. And the reality is that they didn't, because of the rapid change of technology and everything going on. So as business leaders and business owners, we need to harness all this intelligence and energy within our team to continually reinvent and come up with new ideas and strategies so that we can keep our business at the forefront of what's happening in our industry and therefore continue to be one of the best performers in our sector. I really hope you found this useful today, giving you some live examples of companies that are actually using teamwork to create this competitive advantage. If you're not sure what your competitive advantage is within business, I really invite you to take the impactful teamwork quiz that I've created for you, which will show you in 4 different areas how you're performing within your business. And then we'll provide you with a report that shows you ways that you can improve that. And there'll be a link to that in the show notes. Again, I'd like to extend an invitation if anyone would love to come on the show and share with me how they've improved the teamwork within their organization or examples they've seen of really effective teamwork. And it doesn't only have to be in business, although, of course, this podcast is focused on business. But of course, we see examples of great teamwork, as we've said, in the construction industry, of events that's happened in history. But of course, perhaps the most notable that we might think about is in sports teams that have created great results because of the way that the team has worked together. So once again, thank you for your time today. It's been a pleasure sharing this with you, and I look forward to seeing you and hearing from you on the next episode. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to the Impactful Teamwork podcast. Please stay tuned for future episodes and do subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating on your favorite platform. Recommendations are essential for attracting new listeners. Please follow us on social media at Julia Felton and at Business Horsepower. And if there are any topics you'd like us to cover on future episodes, please do let me know. Remember, you and your team are always making an impact. What impact will you make today?